Well, I was most assuredly a theological neophyte when I started seminary. And for that matter, as a bracket, we're all theological beginners when we think about the world of God, when we think about the concept of God or the Trinity. But back to seminary. So I was reading in my first intro to church history, and Ryan probably still gets nightmares about those classes, like I do. But I was reading Justin Martyr, who was an early theologian. He's part of the Church Fathers. And his writings were beautiful. And this is, you know, this is just to give you context, right? This is before there was even like a Nicene Creed. I mean, this is really early Christian formation. And he kept writing about water. And I was thinking, okay, you know, first century Palestine is right near water. That makes a lot of sense. Maybe he likes the beach, for that matter. You know, I do too. I love the beach. I love to sail. I don't think he didn't talk about sailing, but he definitely kept talking about water and this imagery of water as a life force. And so I submitted a my first reflection paper on Justin Martyr, and it was supposed to be sort of this idea of reflect on how you can connect in with this early Christian thinker. And I just kept talking about how much I love to be at the beach and sailing and doing all the things that I love to do on the water in my quick little reflection. Now, my gracious preceptor, in his comments to me, I still remember Joshua Lime's face and his comment, because he said, just a little note, do you know about baptism? Thing is, Justin Martyr was talking about baptism, not sitting at the beach or sailing or on the stand-up paddleboard or anything that my brain was on. I didn't quite realize that. Aha! Baptism is an important thing to Christians. Who would have thought? He was very gracious to me. But baptism has always been an important part of our tradition. Today is the day we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. The actual day where Jesus himself was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Meaning something that Jesus himself did, right? He did that we can do likewise. Likewise, it's an important part of our marker. And water is also an important part of this story, because I wasn't totally misguided in my reflection paper. If you just look at the Mayo Clinic's list about water, here's just a snapshot. Water can regulate your body temperature. It moistens our eyes, nose, and mouth. It protects all of our vital organs and helps to fertilize or make our tissues stronger. It carries nutrients and oxygen to our cells. It helps our joints stay lubricated. It lessens the burdens on our kidneys and our liver by flushing out waste products. And this doesn't include all the benefits of water. Think about how many times you've already used water this morning, right? Maybe you took a shower before church. I hope you did. If you didn't, that's okay too. Maybe you washed your hands when you got up. Maybe you used the John. Maybe you had a glass of water. Maybe you boiled eggs. Maybe you watered your plants. Maybe you still got your Christmas tree up. The list can go on and on and on. I mean, water is important for those of us that like to ski, because that's how we get snow, is from water. Right? So water is just a well-established part of our whole life. It's a central part of our life. It's why it was such a big deal. Remember a few years ago when they found traces of water on Mars? Right? That's a huge, water is a symbol for life. Water is a symbol for life. And that is not absent in our Christian history too. Water is the symbol for life. That is very congruent, even if I missed the mark with Justin Martyr's writings 10 plus years ago. And Genesis tells us in that beautiful, short, and powerful passage that Kate read for us, that God hovered over the deep and breathed life, existence, in other words, when his face swept over the waters. Water was there in the beginning as part of creation. The Holy Spirit, God himself, creating life through water, marking, in other words, our creation. And Jesus leads us right to it in his own baptism, where we're marked as a new creation in him. There's a sidebar here that's really important. If Jesus does something and it shows up in all four Gospels, it's really important. All right, just, you know, as we're all journeying in our understanding of God, that's a pretty good hard and fast rule to take to the bank. If something happens in all four Gospels, you can hold on to that, okay? Baptism happens in all four Gospels. Crucifixion happens in all four Gospels. Resurrection happens in all four Gospels. And so Jesus today, in this incredible story of being baptized by John the Baptist, is signaling for us this gateway into a new life with him. A gateway into a new life with him. In other words, baptism is the moment when we're handed over to Jesus. The prayer book has this incredible language in the rubrics of baptism where it says, baptism is an indissoluble bond. It's unbreakable. It's not just titanium. It's not just steel reinforced concrete. It is indissoluble. Nothing can break the bond with Jesus that is formed and marked at baptism. It is the moment, in other words, when we're metaphorically drowned. Our old life is gone. And we come up out of the waters as a new creation. One that is marked as Christ's own forever. It's an outward and visible sign, in other words, that sin has no more dominion over our lives. And that death has been vanquished in this new creation. Because remember those other two things. The crucifixion, where Jesus took our sins onto his broken body. And the resurrection, where Jesus has vanquished death forever and welcomes us into a new life, an eternal life, salvation. In other words, when we're born again. A few years ago, I had the privilege of baptizing some friends in jail. And we were in a gym, and they wheeled in a blow-up a pool, and we filled it with water. And I still remember Dante's baptism, and I had the privilege of holding him. And he didn't give him any instructions, unfortunately, but I think it actually created an incredible illustration. And that is that when I lowered him down, he didn't know he was going to go all the way underwater. And he liked to talk a lot like me. I think he was even talking to me as I was doing it. And all of a sudden his head went under and all the water went into his mouth. And I looked at him and he was startled, because has anybody ever fallen in the water startled, or maybe, or watched a child go into water and for a second be on the precipice of drowning, right? It's a very, very scary thing to watch or to experience, right? Both things are. And so I watched Dante's eyes go down, and all of a sudden he was like this, and I pulled him back up, and he just, of course, exhaled all this water everywhere, and it was messy, but it was beautiful, because he grasped for new life again. He had new air. It was all new. He was now a new creation. And those words of being marked as Christ's own forever meant something. Because he'd gone down and come up as something new. There's a great song by the Middlebury college-based band Dispatch. I doubt any of you have ever listened to Dispatch. If you have, and if we had a point system at St. Mark's, you'd be way up in the top. But we don't have a point system, and I'm not going to poll anybody. But it 1990s hip-hop with a little bit of jam band. That's the sort of context. And they sing this song called The General. And it's a story about a general who has a heart of gold, as the line goes, but he has never been told. Meaning he's just sort of, he has a good, he's there, but he's never been told that he's loved, and he battles back and forth, and it's not, he's not a general of an army as much as it's a metaphor of his own life. It's a illustration of his own struggle as a person. And towards the end of the song, they reach a point where the general gives up, and he lays down his weapons. And he lays down the fighting. In other words, he gives up his life. Because when we talk about leaving your old life and entering a new, we're talking about giving up our lives and allowing Jesus to come in. And so the general gives up his life. And then you hear the refrain, his voice, the inner voice, the outer voice all saying, go now, you are forgiven. Go now, you are forgiven. It just goes on and on and on. Go now, you are forgiven. This moment of baptism is the moment where we recognize that we are all forgiven. We have been wiped clean. Hayden, Colin, and Luke never have to take a bath again. Unless their parents say so. You don't ever have to shower again. You are made clean. It is the moment where we fully recognize that Jesus loves us. And that when we hear those words that you are my beloved, those words are for us from God himself, telling us that we are loved. We are his children. We are clean. And we are marked as his own forever. Amen.